growing your reach. So we just talked about websites, and we talked about some of the things that we need to do so that once they get on the website, that they what they find, or some of the tools that I use to create some of those things on your website. So let's talk about growing your reach here, because there's some things that we definitely want to cover, and some other things that I want to make sure that people understand. So I want to talk about growing your tribe here. Let's think about who is your tribe. We can be talking about this as your niche, but if you're a coach particularly, if you're a solo entrepreneur, there's people out there that are looking for a leader. This is a tribe, or in my words, I'm going to call it tribe. There's a tribe, and they're looking for a leader, and you need to be that leader, because once you determine or you can prove to them that you are their leader, then the entire tribe will flock to you. So you need to determine who is your tribe. And again, this is kind of a discussion of your niche, right? What your niche is, who's the people that you're going to serve, how you serve them. And then you need to think about, once you've defined that tribe, how are you going to talk to your tribe? Are you going to talk to your tribe electronically? Is everything going to be on one-on-one? How are you going to do that? And the answer is becoming more and more and more that that electronic communication is going to be some aspect of the way you're going to talk to your tribe. How are you going to teach your tribe? Because your tribe's there to learn from you, because you are their leader, right? And since you are their leader, they look to you for guidance. And that guidance is one of the things that they're, why they're hanging around, and one of the reasons why they're willing to pay you, because they know whether they're paying you because of the services that you sell and you provide, or the products that you sell, that you provide, they're buying guidance from you. So how are you going to teach your tribe? And how are you going to drive your tribe to your website? Because remember, your website is kind of the hub, if you will, of the ways that you're going to be able to provide information to your tribe, to your people, to your niche, to your constituents, to your clients, however the people are all out in this huge universe out there. They come to one place electronically to get information that you provide, because you are the wonderful provider of this particular type of information. So you've got to think about how you're now going to drive that tribe that's out there that you don't know to your website. And then you've got to think about how you're going to increase your tribe, because if you don't increase your tribe, what's going to happen is eventually you're going to be talking the same thing to the same people. So your tribe, who is your tribe? Well, it's basically your niche market, your perfect client. And in our session where we talked about the business map, we talked to some degree about the niche and your perfect client. And if you have not done that, you need to do it now and determine and write down who actually is your perfect client. I want you to give them a name, you know, and describe them in great detail. How old are they? What do they look like? What is their social economical status? What are they interested in? Where do they go on weekends? Do they have kids? Do they not have kids? Because what's going to happen is that as you're doing your marketing, is once you have built this perfect client, you're doing your marketing to them. You're talking to them. If you've named your perfect client Susie, then what you're doing is you're talking to Susie, not just to the faceless crowd, but you're talking to Susie because you know there's lots of Susies out there. But Susie is a person that you really love to work with. That's your perfect client, and your marketing effort should be geared just towards her. And then you need to think about, where can you find lots of people like Susie in large numbers, right? Where can you find members of your tribe in large numbers? Why are you their perfect leader? why are you their perfect leader, and how are you going to lead them? Now, all these are hugely important questions. Hugely important questions. You've got to define your niche and your perfect client. Then you've got to be able to go find them, hunt for them, seek them out. Once you have sought them out and they're now looking and listening to you, why should they care? They're probably looking for a leader, but why are you that leader? How are you going to lead them? What products and solutions and innovations do you provide that they need? What needs are you fulfilling for them? More importantly than that, what wants are you fulfilling for them? Now think about your tribe in terms of your website. Because if you build it, they won't come. Yes, I said that correctly. If you build it, they won't come. What you've got is you've got this hugely, maybe this hugely beautiful website. And nobody knows it's there. Even if it does all the things that we've talked about, it's got this beautiful stuff of that'll get people to like, know, and trust you. But nobody knows it's there. Nobody knows it's there. So you've got to drive people to the website because they're not going to come. And you drive people to your website through communications. One of those communications is your newsletter. Hi, I'm here and I still love you. Just letting you know once a month that I'm here and I love you. I think you're very cool and I'm your leader and I help you. You ought to go check out my website and drive people to your website that way. I'm still in business. Webinars. Webinars, yes, I communicate to you through webinars. I teach you through webinars. This is the way that I do a lot of my teachings and my work, is that I keep telling them, yes, I'm still around. Yes, I still have information you want. Yes, I lead my tribe. Some of these webinars can be selling webinars. Some of them are just information webinars. Okay, you cannot sell to someone every time you see them. You've got to be able to provide them information that they actually care about. If you provide them information that they actually care about, then you will get permission to market to them. Blogs are the same thing. What they're doing is you're communicating to your tribe. Hi, here's some information that I thought you might be interested in. Okay, this is a blog. This is my thoughts for the day. So you're driving your tribe to your website. Okay. Once you write that blog, now you go onto Facebook, you go to email, you go to LinkedIn, you go to a variety of things. It says, I just wrote a new blog. You need to go to my website. You've got to drive them to your website. You got to mention it on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn. Again, you must drive people to your website. They will not find it on their own. Some will. Some will, and we're going to do things to for the casual searcher, the one that's just hitting through Google, to find you. But you need to continually drive your clients, your tribe, to your website. You can do a webinar, right? Once you're doing a webinar, you give them good information. They go, wow, that's really good. That's really good. How can I find more? I want more. I want more information. You will find more information at my website. Because, again, your website is where they go to learn more about you and where they can then buy things from you if they so desire. It's the hub of your universe. They can buy the products. They can buy services to the website. They can opt in. Opt-ins are important because you don't want to spam folks. One, it doesn't help you with sales. Two, it's against the law, and fines are hefty. When I say hefty, I'm talking about multiple thousands of dollars per infraction. So if you send out spam and you're labeled as a spammer, and they listed that they're able to prove that you spammed 100 people and they decide to charge you $10,000 per person, you've got a problem. And that will bankrupt you. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Do not spam folks. Ask for permission to market to them. If you don't ask for permission to market to them, you just market to them, two things are going to happen. One, you're not going to sell anything, and two, you're going to make them mad. Possibly lose a potential client, maybe lose a potential friend. If you don't have permission to market to them, they're not going to buy anyway. So the first thing you need to do is ask for permission. Give them something for opting in. Wouldn't you like to come in and, you know, I've got a newsletter that I'd like to get to you. Normally, a newsletter right now is not worth somebody opting in and sharing their information with you. Okay, because everybody's got a newsletter. But you may give them something to opt in. You know, yes, if you opt in, I will give you this book. I will give you this white paper. I will give you this assessment. I will give you the results of this survey. I will give you something that will make it worth your while for you to give me your name and contact information. And by them opting in, they're giving permission for you to market to them. That's what an opt-in is. When somebody opts out, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. They, chances are they weren't in your tribe anyhow. They weren't in your tribe anyhow. Get over it. It's fine. You know, let them opt out. That's fine. You can still talk to them and still meet with them when you see them on the street and things of this nature. They've just decided that, you know what, I'm really not interested right now in what you're doing. That's fine. They're not a member of your tribe. That's okay. That's okay. Email communications, any time that you're talking to someone, always take the high road. You know, I know how good it feels sometimes to write that that scathing email and somebody sent you a note back. Do not do that. Your emails are never deleted. Even if somebody deletes the email, it's not deleted. It's on a server somewhere. So when all, I emphasize all of your communications, you need to make sure that you take the high road. What does taking the high road mean? That means you never write something that you don't want put in headlines in the New York Times. Use that as a guideline. Never write something you don't want put in the headlines of the New York Times. So if John's being a jerk and you call him a jerk, and John has 10,000 friends, and John thinks that you call him a jerk unnecessarily, he may have deserved it, doesn't matter. He's now complained to his friends that you badmouthed him by calling him a jerk. You now look back. Don't call him a jerk, even if he is. Don't call him a jerk. Not in any kind of written or electronic communication. I don't care whether you're talking about Facebook, whether you're talking about LinkedIn, whether you're talking about an email, don't do it. Never write an email in anger. It will come back and haunt you. If somebody has really, really perturbed you, go grab a glass of tea and go sit on the back porch and relax for 10 minutes before you come back and write that email. Sometimes wait on it overnight. Never, ever, ever write an email in anger. You know, most of the time, when I feel like that I'm talking to an idiot, I come to find out that I'm not, but they may be. So oftentimes when we think we understand the situation, when we just don't, and we tend to fly off the handle, when we should sit back and relax and take a breath. So never, ever write an email in anger. Never add something on Facebook that is private in any way. Because once you put it on Facebook, it's not private anymore. Same is true for LinkedIn, for Twitter, for whatever. Don't put something derogatory on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, because somebody somewhere is keeping that. And it will, again, it will come back to haunt you. And lots of things that were said in jest look bad when written on paper. So in the electronic age, you need to be very, very careful about all of your digital communications. Never engaged in a heated conversation via email. I'll say that again. Never engage in a heated conversation via email. I have no problem if you want to discuss discuss something, as soon as one or the other party gets upset, you need to back off, because everything looks worse on paper. And everything, yes, will be taken out of context. And no, you won't have an opportunity to correct that. It's hard, hard, hard to misquote silence. So never, ever engage in a heated conversation via email. Yeah, when you're sure you're arguing with an idiot, you're probably not. Just kind of a good rule of thumb. All right, let's talk just a minute about strategic partners as another way of driving people to your website and to yourself. What's a strategic partner? Well, somebody's got a similar clientele, but they have a product or service in which you do not compete. Right? Something that you do not compete. So, for instance, I may work with individual solo entrepreneurs, and we may have somebody else over here that what they do is they're virtual assistants, and they help people set up the their contact list, right, and do their newsletter. That's a good strategic partner for me, because what happens is that we both may be talking to solo entrepreneurs, right? But I don't do constant contact. I don't set that up. I don't deal with that at all. And this virtual assistant, that's all they do. So that's a good strategic partner for me. Okay? Similar clientele, but a product or service, you don't compete. You need to be someone you trust. Because what's happening is you're willing to place your, you've got to be willing to place their business in their hands, because that's exactly what you're doing. When I say someone I can trust from a strategic partner standpoint, what I'm doing is I'm inviting my list to come and listen to this person speak. Or I may be being invited to listen to somebody else's list, right? And the same thing applies, is that they've put their reputation, their business on the line in my hands. So it's got to be someone that you trust as a strategic partner. You need to think of somebody that you will court, as in the old way of dating, that you're going to court as a partner. You've searched for them. You've found them. It would help out if it's somebody that's a little bit bigger than yourself. Not a lot bigger. You know, if you've got 500 names and they have 50,000 names, there's not a reason for them to, quite frankly, engage you as a partner. If you've got 500 names and somebody else has 500 or 600 names, it's probably a pretty good partnership. But it's somebody that you're going to go out of your way to court as a partner, somebody that you really think a lot of. That's a really good coach. They've got a really good service and product. I like the way they're doing what they're doing. Right? There's ways that you go out of your way to court as a partner, and that's the good person that you want as a strategic partner. So how does this work? Well, let's think about it. You've got two businesses, business A and business B. A promotes B to A's mailing list. B may then turn around and give a percentage of sales. Or they may just say, okay, so you promote me to your list, and then B will promote A to their list. So the list got to be of similar sizes. The idea is here that both people benefit. Both people need to benefit. You can do ongoing promotions at each of these events, assuming that you both have events of some kind, right? You can promote each other, again, at their events, assuming that you both have them. And it'd be really nice if they're approximately the same size. Again, if one's really big and one's really small, it's not really fair. Strategic partners is a great way to add names. Let's go back to that scenario, that client with myself, for instance, where I'm looking for solo entrepreneurs, and we have a virtual assistant over here that is great at constant contact. And what they're looking for is they're looking for the solo entrepreneur clients. So we run in different circles. Well, they may bring me in to do a webinar, and I may bring them in to do a webinar, and our lists, let's say that our lists are several thousand apiece, but there's not much overlap. I could double my list size by doing that one event, possibly, and so could that other person. So it's a great way to add names. But it's got to be a win-win situation. It's got to be a win-win situation. If there's got to be a winner, let the partner be the winner. because you're going to need them again. Do not get into a win-lose situation where you win and your strategic partner loses, because then you will have shut that door forever. Don't do it. You want to make sure that your partner wins so that they will ask you if you want to partner again. Now, if it turns out to be a disaster for you, you may choose, no, I don't want to partner again, and that's fine. There's no problems with that. But don't close that door to using them again as a strategic partner. Things may change in a month, in a year. And also along with that, don't continue in a partnership that's detrimental to you. If it's wonderful for them and horrible for you, don't go there a second time or a third time. Say, yes, man, and, you know, I really enjoyed this. From a business standpoint, this didn't work out. You know, I'd be happy to renegotiate things that we could get them to make it work out for me a little better. I mean, there's a variety of things that you can do, a variety of ways that you can couch that, but do not continue in a partnership that's detrimental to you. Do things to continue to prime the pump, grease the wheels, make it easy for them to work with you. Make it easy for them to work with you. Pay and ask commissions. It's a great scenario, great situation. Say you were working with somebody and you were working with a strategic partner, and what happened is that as a result of that, you got some business, and y'all had never talked about doing a commission. Send them a 5 or 10% commission, depending on the size of it. You know, send them something. And say, hey, I just want to let you know. I appreciate what you did, and here's a little money to let you know I appreciate it. That's a cool thing, and that'll pay dividends for you down the road. All right, so that's some ideas about how you ought to grow your reach. Some things to think about and some things to put into action. This is Mike O'Neill. We've got some more seminars or some more sections coming up. I'm looking forward to talking to you again. Thank you very much.